before I start that, you know, at some level we're all going to have questions and we're all going to worry about those sorts of things. And I think that's a really good place to be because it's an honest place and we need to be honest. We need to be honest about where we are with our faith, and but there's no point pretending that things are okay if they're not. All right. So it's okay to be in this sort of place. All right. But what I want to talk about today is how do we help people who are in that place? Okay. So we're going to look at two stories in the Bible. We're going to look at Job and we're going to look at Thomas. And on the surface, they're about individuals, but they're not really about individuals. They're about how a community deals with people in that spot. Okay. So if we look at Job, so Job was a righteous man. It says in the Bible that he was the greatest man in the East. And when all his livestock and camels and children were killed, he praised the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not going to be me. All right? When that happens, I found it. And when we lost Annabelle, it was very difficult to praise the Lord. Okay? You know that's what you're supposed to do and you know that's the way out, but it's still a very difficult place to be and it's a very difficult thing to do. But the Lord then inflicts Job himself, and Job gets all scabs all over his body and all that sort of thing. And his wife encourages him to curse God, but still he refuses. He says, "I'm not going to curse God." Okay. Said, "Naked I came out of the mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And, you know, we sing that. There's a song that we sing that's like that. And it's very easy to sing those words. But it's another thing to mean them when you're in that time of thing. And so it's easy to think, you know, to read this beginning bit of Job and to think Job's this amazing guy and nothing upsets him. And, you know, I'm never going to be like that because I do get upset by God and I do get upset. But the story continues for a long, long time, Job's story. Chapters and chapters of it. And we could read... we could read lots of it, but I'm not going to read lots of it. But I'll say too, I really think somehow today God wanted me to bring this message too. I woke up this morning about 4:30 with these really, really bad chest pains. And I got out of bed and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I might not even get here this morning. And I just prayed to God to take it away and I'm okay now. But yeah, I'm just... so, and when I was reading this too, because I often read Job and I'm not into poetry and it all goes over my head and I've read it lots of times, but when I was reading it this week as I was preparing for this sermon, it really spoke to me in a way that it hasn't before. So I encourage you to go home and read it, because it, as I said, it does go on for chapters and chapters and it is very easy to just skip over. But I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, okay? So this is just after his wife has said to him, "Curse God and die." Okay. And he said, "No, I'm not going to." Okay. So then when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temerite, Bilead the Shulite, and Zophar the Naphonite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathise with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognise him, and they began to weep aloud. And they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. And I think that's the last, that last, those last couple of verses in chapter 2 are about how community ministers. And that's a long time to sit with somebody for 7 days and 7 nights and say nothing, because that probably go for a lot of us goes against the way that we're made. We want to solve people's problems. We want to help people. We want to have the right words to say. And so to say nothing is really, really difficult. And then after that, if you keep going into chapter 3, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And so he starts talking about how terrible it is. He's honest about how he's feeling, okay? And he's wondering where God is in all of that and why God isn't you know, doing something, and why isn't God doing it? Okay? And his friends don't get the hint that he just wants to spurt it out. You know, when you just, you don't want anybody to say anything to you, you just want to spurt it out and let go of it. But that's really hard for people who are listening, because we don't want to just sit and listen. We feel like we've got to have the answers. And so his friends continue then after that, after being silent for 7 days, they keep talking and trying to show him the error of his ways. Okay? And if in 25, I don't know what verse I'm in, what chapter I'm in there, somewhere in verse 25 somewhere, which is not that one, but anyway, it does say that somewhere, that Job knows, for example, that he's going to have lots of children. But because he says that's what God has said. But yet all his children are gone. So he's got this promise that he doesn't know what to do with, and he doesn't really believe it. He knows that God's hand heals, okay? But again, he doesn't feel the healing. He doesn't know. It's not making any difference. And we have to be careful that, like Job's friends, we're not spouting words because we feel we have to fill that silence. It's okay for that silence to be there, okay? You know, sometimes it's better to say nothing and just listen, because often, like Job, he knew what God had promised him, and he knew that God could heal and all that sort of things. And so they don't need us to say, this is what God's can do, and this is, because we already know it. As I said, we're talking about Christians. We're not talking about people who don't believe, okay? We're talking about us as people who do know. But everything's got too much, and life does get too much sometimes, and that's okay. We don't need, though, to be preaching to people that, you know, you need to have faith and you need to do this, because that person already knows that. Job already knew those things, and these people are out there thingo. Okay? And then God appears and he talks to Job and he talks to his friends. So it's interesting too in that, and we'll look at it that more with Thomas, that God appears to Job in the company of people too. It's in the context of community that God appears and answers those doubts and those problems. He doesn't appear to Job while he's alone. It's in the context of other people, so that God is not just meeting. Because sometimes too, when people are going through a bad time, we start to think too, well, what's God doing? What's God, you know, why isn't he helping? Why isn't he answering prayers? So it's easy to get pulled down too with the person who's going through that. And God knows that, so he comes and ministers to people as a community. All right. So if we look at Thomas, and, you know, I think it's a bit rough that he gets called Doubting Thomas. We don't go around calling Peter Denying Peter or whatever. So, you know, sometimes I think as Christians, we think that doubting is the worst thing that we can do as a Christian. It's like we don't think God's big enough to deal with those doubts. But God wants us to come to him with all that. He wants us to come and go, God, I don't trust you. I want to, but I don't. You know, that's okay. So if we go to John 20, verses 19 to 29, and it's interesting that I think that this story appears in John, and John's the writer who writes about God's love and God's grace, I think, the most. So it's interesting that this is where this story appears. So what did I say? 19 to 29. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. So again, notice that it's in the context of community that Jesus is appearing. Okay? It's not to single people or whatever. It's in that context of community. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Then Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." So it's interesting that this story, unlike Job's, doesn't go on for chapters and chapters and chapters. You know, it's part of the second last chapter in the book. Because to me, the disciples don't carry on at Thomas. They don't go, "Oh, you silly thing, just believe, we saw him." You know, there's that silence again, that silence that Job's friends had to start with. There's that silence. They don't, you know, I mean, I don't know, this is just me reading into it, obviously, because it's not there, but I think that they accepted Thomas where he was, you know, and to me, the fact that he's there when Jesus comes again says that they did that, because if they were at him and at him and at him, he's probably not going to hang around too much longer. He's probably going to nick off because he doesn't feel worthy. He probably feels bad enough as it is. But if he's had all the disciples at him and at him and at him, he's going to feel even worse and feel like he's not worthy and he's not worth it and he's not all those things that he's saying in his head anyway. If they're being reinforced by the other people in the community, then that's the way he's going to feel. And Jesus comes, and again, it's in that context of community. So God didn't leave Job and Thomas alone, but they had to wait. It didn't, you know, sometimes today particularly, I think we're into instant prayers. It has to happen instantly, you know, but they had to wait, okay? And we have to be prepared to wait with people too. Things aren't an easy fix, you know. People have horrible things happen in their lives, and they're not going to be fixed overnight. We have to be prepared to be that community with people and to stay with them for however long it takes for God to come. So it's us who have to have the faith. We have to have the faith too. We have to hang in there for those people who are struggling, you know. And, you know, Jesus doesn't come and condemn Thomas, just as he didn't condemn Peter for denying him or whoever for whatever. Jesus isn't up to condemn people. He wants to meet us at our needs and to do it there. You know, we need to deal with that doubt in a community. It's not for somebody to have to go off and fix it themselves. You know, and Jesus knew that it would be hard for us to believe because we haven't seen. You know, if that reminds me that, you know, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. Reminds me of all those things on the Sermon of the Mount, you know. And all that stuff, none of that stuff comes out of easy stuff. It's all stuff that comes out of hard stuff. You know, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. They're all hard things. You know, it's not an easy walk that we're on. And it's not going to be easy. And that's okay. We have to come to some sort of acceptance that it's okay, that it's not going to be easy for me. It's not going to be easy for you. It's not going to be easy for anybody. But we have to walk with each other because God's going to appear and show us in that midst of community. You know, for both Job and for Thomas, God appeared to them and helped them to believe in the context of community. Because when that happens, everybody's faith is built up. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to build our faith, but we have to be prepared to stand by each other and to wait for God to come. And God might, you know, 7 days is not a long time, but it's probably going to be longer in lots of cases. And that's okay. And we have to know that that's okay and be prepared to stand with each other and to do that. Yeah, we can pray? Okay. Lord, I thank you that you call us to be community. And Lord, when it's hard and when it's easy, Lord, you call us together, that you'll minister to us as family. And Lord, I ask you to help us to understand about the need to be silent, Lord, and that to understand that we don't have to have all the answers, Lord. It's up to you to have the answers. And we just have to stand with each other and by each other and love each other, Father. Thank you that you love us so much that
that you won't leave us alone either, Lord, but that you will come and answer in your time and in your way, Lord.